Okay, we're recording.
Oh.
We're not doing ASMR?
You want to do ASMR? Do it.
Ugly. Hold on. Let me get a Cheeto.
Ew. That's not ASMR. We'll do this. My nails on a ghost.
Ugh, it gives me chills. So stop. Make a beat.
Somehow they came.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording. You want to start it off? Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Hey, guy. This is Maddie.
It's Angelica.
And we are
from How They Came.
Whoa!
Woo!
All right.
What's up?
We got lots to talk about.
We do.
I don't know. When do you want to start? Let's start. Last weekend, we're both living our best lives. We saw a ceremony.
Oh, yeah. I went to McAllen.
And I went to the Austin date.
Oh, my God. It was dope. I love ceremony.
They were so good. They just make you want to dance. That's what it is. They really make you want to dance.
They make me want to do a lot of things.
Are those things, are you able to say on the podcast?
No, because my parents listen. Okay. I'm just kidding.
Stop.
Yeah, so in McAllen, it was actually not that many people.
I saw your story. I was like, where's the rest of the people there?
But it was so intimate. Like, it was so fucking good. Like, I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. It was like, I won't say the McAllen show was as good as the San Antonio show.
Yeah.
Because hands down, I still believe that's one of the best ceremony sets I have ever seen.
Is that the one where that was at the Paper Tiger?
Yes.
With
Touche
Amore.
Touche.
And Gougeway?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you go to that one?
I was there. I was there.
Yeah.
That was actually the first time I think I saw ceremony.
Really?
I've never seen it before, yeah.
I think the tour before that one was my first time ever seeing them.
What tour is that one?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, but when we saw them, it was really fucking good. It was really intimate. After the show, I don't know what his name was. He was friends with Josh and David. They went with us. Their friend was selling, I want to say, vegan tacos.
Ooh,
they were fucking good. Mm-hmm. And Ross was standing out there, and he like took pictures with people.
Aww.
I took a picture with Ross, too.
I love them.
I never got it because Josh never sent it to me. So I
hope Josh, if you listen to this, you need to send that picture. Okay, bye.
Yeah, and I want that on my cake for my birthday. I want it on my wedding invitations.
Oh my god. We're going to put it every time we send out a patron. It's going to be a picture of Helica.
That's so cute.
From ceremony.
With Ross
from ceremony, yes.
Oh, I would love that. That's a good idea, Maddie.
Hell yeah. And then
tell me about your time.
My time. Also, it was cool. So I wasn't going to go. I wanted to, but I was like, look, it's a Sunday night. I have to be up early Monday. Well, so Saturday night, the day before, I was drunk at a party. It was our friend's birthday party, and, you know, I was a little feeling it.
Mm.
And so I was there with my friend Brittany, and so she was like, hey, go to ceremony tomorrow. And I said, okay, you convinced me. I'm
gonna
buy my ticket.
Even though you were gonna go with us?
Yeah. I couldn't because it was my friend's party, and I would have felt horrible.
Whatever.
Anyways. Yeah, I could only stand you for so long.
Oh. Wow.
Oh, wow. And
fuck
so
you.
I was like, okay, you know, I'm sorry. Like, I can't go to the McAllen date, but I'll go to the Austin date last minute, whatever. It was fun. I didn't feel like there was a lot of people. It was at the Barracuda. Is that what it's called?
It was
Barracuda?
Was it at Barracuda?
It's at Barracuda by right next to Sidebar. So I went there and it was nice. It wasn't too crazy, but it was fun. It was still a good time.
That's good. I'm glad you had fun.
I called in the next day. I'm just gonna put that out there.
Tisk tisk tisk.
It was, yeah, we didn't come home till like almost 2 a.m.
Oh wow. Well, I'm glad you had fun. That's all that matters.
Oh, always. anyways.
That's all that matters. And then this past
week, you start, you go.
I saw.
She's living her best life.
The Jonas Brothers. A lot of people actually don't know this about me, but I have been a huge Jonas Brothers fan since I was 13.
Fuck.
Dude,
that is diehard.
Diehard. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, you know those pictures of girls where, like, their walls are covered? Bitch. That was literally me.
They use your picture?
Like, if you ask my mom, mm-hmm. I wish we had pictures of my room. Bitch, I can call her up. Should I call her right now? Let's call her.
FaceTime.
Want to FaceTime? Do you want to meet my mom?
I do. I've never met your mom.
No one's ever mitten my mom.
No one's mitten my mom.
But yeah.
She's currently FaceTiming her mom.
Damn.
So didn't we just talk earlier?
Yeah, we were just talking. I don't know where she said she was going to. Oh, wait. Here we go. Hey, mom.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, Annalika's mom.
Look, mom. It's Maddie.
We're recording. Please don't listen to any other podcast.
So we're recording the podcast, and I'm talking about the Jonas Brothers, right?
Uh-huh.
Can you tell them how extreme my love for the Jonas Brothers was?
Jonas Brothers?
Am I going to get a cut of this money?
Oh.
I mean, yeah. Well, I don't know what money you're talking about.
What money are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm not going to give you
it. Ah,
she's not giving
us
an interview.
All right, I'll slip $5.
Yeah, you can't interview me.
Wow.
Anyways,
your mom knows how to run a deal.
Excuse me, lady. I'm over here trying to shop. Let me get my shop on.
Okay. Well, then never mind. You were worthless on this, mom.
Okay, thank you, mom. Bye. Nice meeting you. Bye. Oh, she's so supportive. I love it.
Anyways, my walls were covered.
We'll get her on a better day. We'll let her tell the story.
Maybe one day.
When she's not shopping.
When she's not shopping and we can give her a cut of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, my walls were covered in pictures. I actually still have a bunch of those posters, like, hidden away.
I don't know why you haven't framed them. You're a knit girl?
I was a knit girl.
With the curly hair. You had a what? What was that? A little louder?
A purity ring.
Okay.
I was going to say a puberty ring.
I think those are something else.
those are something completely different. But yeah, so I saw them 1 year for their When You Look Me in the Eye store.
Oh my god.
I saw them again for I don't know what kind of which one it was, like what the name of it was, but I was also on the floor for that. My friend, the one that I said from high school, junior high, her parents bought us tickets.
Oh, that's sweet.
And this past one, I went with my friend Courtney.
And you also got to the front, right?
Let me get there.
Oh my god.
So me and Courtney, we met on Tumblr. We were big One Direction fans. God. Yeah.
How every great friendship.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. Yeah. We're still friends. So we were going to go with our friend Gretchen, who we also met on Tumblr, and she's from not Texas. I don't remember where she's from. But she was planning on flying down, going with us. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it, so we had an extra ticket. So I was trying to find someone. Okay. Hey, anybody want a ticket? Anyone want a ticket? Anyone want to buy it? Anyone just want to come? Nobody.
I should have said yes.
Right? You should have. Okay, so I went from the top and
to the bottom
and I was in the front row, dude.
I saw your pictures,
dude. I wasn't even front row. I was in the pit. I was in the general admission.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck? I was so fucking close to them.
I like felt the richness from your photos, dude. I was like, dude, she's so close to like money right now. To like,
I was close.
The purest angels of this world.
I was so close to my true
all three daddies.
True
honestly.
Love. Like, me and Nick, I swore up and down.
Did y'all lock eyes?
We did. Dead ass. He looked directly at me.
He was like, you.
He, in Helica.
You.
And I was grooving, like, oh my god.
Yeah,
and they
me?
Sing,
me? You should have given him a sticker.
Thrown it at
him. Just be like, hey, I got something for you. And it's like,
oh my god. And my aunt, I ended up talking to my mom, I want to say it was yesterday, my aunt Tina, she was the one who bought me my first tickets to see them. And she asked me,
put this on pause real quick.
Oh. And we're back.
Yes.
So Maddie just got a new shirt.
Yay, shout out to Nemesis.
Nemesis.
If you listen to them, San Antonio local band. hardcore for fans of a good time and rock and roll.
Rock and roll, brother.
Do you know that video of that little, the mushroom from...
Yeah, I have it saved on my phone.
Me too. It's time to rock and roll.
I love it. Yes. I fucking love it. That's my favorite video. But back to what I was fucking saying.
Yes, what were you saying about the Jonas Brothers? Talking about rock and roll.
That's rock and roll at its purest. Yeah. Fuck, bitch. I forgot what I was saying.
Argentina?
She bought me my first tickets to see them when they played in Houston for the When You Look Me in the Eyes tour.
When you look me in the eye.
They sing
fuck.
It. And tell me that
oh my god, I'm crying already. Love Bug fucking gets me till this day.
You want to hear it?
Maybe later. Okay. Not right now.
I'm like, let's listen to it. I looked at them twice since posting.
Twice?
Yeah, like going back and rewatching it. Oh, I was like, what? But yeah, anyways, let me hurry up and get the story out.
I don't want you to like ever stop telling me the story. Like, I wanted to keep going.
So when I talked to my mom about it, and like my aunt was there, and she was just like, oh, like my granny was the one who was like, I saw how close you were. And I was like, oh my God, I know. Like, I got so excited talking about it. Mm. And then my aunt Tina was like, well, did you like, were you at least able to touch one of them? And I was like, no. Oh, and she was just God. Like, that's good because I know you would have pulled them down. I was like, you know, I would have.
You'd be like, all right, let's go. Let's got a drive away car in the front. Let's go. I don't want the Jonas Brothers. I don't want no drama with the Jonas Brothers.
We can give them stickers.
We could do like our own Camp Rock.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on the floor in the pit. I was three girls away from the stage.
Pug, you should have knocked them out.
I wanted to, but one of them was really big. Oh. Like tall. Like that girl was tall.
Mm-hmm. You said I wanted to.
I wish I would have, but you know, I'm not trying to like, you know, cause any drama. They paid for their tickets.
I'm trying to have a good time. They're trying to have a good time. God damn it. You know, they're here. I shouldn't be here, but
I should be all the way up there. When they first came out, deadass, I cried. I legitimately cried. Because it's like, come on.
You grew up with them. I feel like it's touching because we grew up with them. And it's like to what they're at now. I think we're like the same age or they're probably like a few years older.
Yeah, Nick was born in 92.
Oh, then yeah, like
he's 2 years older than
so
me.
He's what, like 28, 27?
27. Like he just turned 20.
And like they're unproblematic. They're just living
so
their
sweet.
Best life. Yeah.
They're so handsome.
To this day.
Handsome babies.
Oh my God. I could go on and on about my love for the Jonas Brothers.
I love them. Like legitimately. I would do anything for them. And then like I feel like the best part about it was like they were singing songs from when I was younger. Like they like of course they sing their newer songs because it's for that tour. That's the tour what it's for. But when they like sang SOS and like Hold On.
I saw was it Burning Up?
Was so hot from that fire. I was like, I wish I was up there because I wouldn't be feeling
my
seat.
Eyebrows came off a little.
Yeah, like they burnt sizzled a little bit. And they sang the one song that I was so excited to hear.
What?
Okay, so if you're not like an OG
I probably won't know.
It's called Mandy.
Okay.
It's from their very first album ever. Mm-hmm. It's about Joe's like ex-girlfriend from high school named Mandy. I'm gonna play it and we're gonna cut this out, but I want you to hear it. It's so fucking cute. It's so sweet. Hold on.
They didn't have to go this hard.
They did not have to go this
hard.
They
really didn't.
Yeah, so I had a great time. It meant the world to me. And it was amazing because I got to be there with Courtney, who had never seen them before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was awesome. Courtney's the one who sent us the story about her possessed mom.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Courtney.
Courtney, I'm glad you had a good time, Courtney. Courtney you deserve that. It. After that, you deserve the best of times.
And I told her about what happened with Gabby in her dreams.
Oh.
Yeah, she told me about that. Yeah.
Yes, I finally made Gabby listen to it because for a while she didn't want to listen to our listener story.
Yeah,
because we suck. But also, she was scared, and I was like, "Bitch, just don't be a bitch."
Yeah,
but she listened to it, and she was like, "I'm scared." And I was like, "How do you think we felt? We had to read
my
it."
God, I read it like three times prior to reading it on the episode.
Why would you do that?
It was terrifying.
Oh my God, you're like, let's see if it gets better.
It got better each and every time. What about you? What have you been up to? Anything new this past week?
Yes. So last night I saw Thrashers. I was amongst my tios and tias seeing Demolition Hammer.
Mm,
and they're just an older thrash band that's been around for years. Well, they played their album Epidemic of Violence. It was their 20th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So almost it came out, us. What, like 1999? Mm-hmm. So I was 5 years old at the time.
That made him 99? Oh, I was six.
Was I five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, depending on when it came out.
Probably, yeah. Because I was like 4 or 5.
Because 1999 is when the Spurs won the championship and I lived here.
Fuck.
That's the only reason
I remember. That's the only reason you remember? Mm-hmm. So a lot of great things happened in the year 99,
including
apparently.
Including that
the
album.
The Spurs, that album. There's actually a lot of bands in there, like the 20th year.
Yeah.
I feel like this year.
Like Blink-182's album. Yeah. Like, I'm...
Yeah. Like, see... That, oh, time to be alive, right? Why couldn't we be teenagers? Or, like...
Because we'd be old as fuck.
That is true.
But yes.
Yes. Like, to experience
I digress.
That, you
I
know?
Digress. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so they played their album in its entirety along with, like,
oh
some older
God.
Songs.
That's
it was a long
awesome.
Show, but I had fun.
I'm
My
glad
neck
you had
hurts.
Fun. Yeah, you were coming in here, didn't even have your teeth brushed.
I know.
Fucking
you know, living
tired.
The Thrasher life.
That's gross.
I had to down, you know, some water. You know,
whatever.
Shotgun it. Shotgun some water. Hell yeah. So yeah, that was fun. It was a fun thing to do. Shout out to our friends Hope and Jacob for taking me and little Gabby.
Yes. Thank you for taking care of the babies.
Yes. And other than that, I got into
a fight.
I wish. No. I wanted to.
I've been wanting to fight someone lately.
I'm at that point where like I want to fight.
I've never been in a fight though.
You want to fight?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I would win because of my nails. I can't put my hands in fists.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel
can't.
Like I'd be slapping her.
Pew, pew, pew. Like that in the background. Pew.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a show I got into. It's by the Boulay brothers, Dragula.
Dragula, yeah.
I just got into it.
I've tried for the past 2 years to mm-hmm. get into it. I don't know what it is about it.
Yeah.
I just can't seem... Like, I love drag. You mm-hmm. know me. I love me some drag queens.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I can watch one episode and I'm just like, ugh. I don't know what
I like it for the drama.
But I saw Henry Rollins was on it.
Oh, I'm barely on, like, God. The third episode of the first season, so Woo! Let me get there. Let
yeah,
me
it
get
was
there.
This past season.
Oh,
the one
okay.
that just came out. Mm-hmm. When I saw Henry... I actually saw that he was on it because... on his Instagram, because you know he has a podcast with Heidi, which is like I don't know who she is to him actually, but she had posted a video of him with them and I was just like, that's so amazing. Look at my king just being
he's
king.
Living his best life.
I love him
being king.
That's that man's older than my dad and I would marry him.
How old is he?
He's like 50 actually. Let's look it up.
Oh,
because you know I don't like to be wrong and I'm not going to give our listeners wrong
although
information.
You are wrong.
Excuse me. Henry Rollins is 58 years old.
My grandma she just turned 63.
He was born.
Or 64.
In 61. My dad was born in 63.
Well, yeah, I just got into it. And I'm giving it a chance because they're coming to San Antonio, AA Brothers.
Oh, really?
To the Aztec. And I really want to go.
Are we going to go? I'll go
we
with you.
We can go.
Let's do it. It'd be fun.
It would be. And then, so I just think I just like it for, like, the... The queens, they get to dress, they
more
perform
horror,
spooky.
Yeah.
They get to just
like
go all out.
Miss Taint, like Miss Taint.
I'm waiting for her to get her spot on there,
she
honestly.
Deserves it. She's
honestly.
Fucking amazing.
And so, well, I'm barely on the first season, so I'm trying to give it a shot. And so far, I like the concept.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a little cheesy at some points.
Maybe that's what it
Maybe,
is, though,
like the
for me, not liking it.
But I like it, so I'm like, okay, let's see if I could stay into it.
Yeah, because, like, I love... horror obviously but when it came with like drag queens I was like that's such a dope idea.
Course.
I think I don't know what it is about the show.
I really like the part where it was like on the first episode, I don't know if you remember, but when they're down to the bottom three and they have to go through like a test.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first one when they bury them alive in like coffins and
oh my God, no,
you don't remember that one?
No, I didn't watch it.
Oh, I didn't watch it. Well, it was like the first episode of the first season, so it was like it's been older. It's been out for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But so the last three remaining, they bury them alive. The opening to the coffin had a night camera, so they could see like
a night camera.
And I don't know what is it called, nightlight camera.
Nightlight camera.
I had a camera to like see their reactions and to see like just, hey bud, like you doing okay in there? Mm-hmm. And then out of the opening was a tube, so they would put like, I think spiders. At one point they put grasshoppers.
No.
They put what looked like maggots, and then they were like spraying water on them in there, and it was just funny to see all three of like their reactions. And one queen was just like taking it, you know. She was like,
yeah.
just give it to me. And then the others were just like freaking out. One of the queens were just like annoyed, just like, just get me out of here.
Yeah.
And then it was just funny to do. And then I love how they go about. So like the out of the three, only one went home. Mm-hmm. I forgot her name, but the way that they had made it to show like she had went home was that they burned her alive.
Okay, got it. That's cool.
I was like, I like that.
It's different. You know,
it's different, yeah. It's then like your RuPaul, your Drag Race.
Don't come for RuPaul or
I'm
his
not
drag
coming
race,
for RuPaul,
okay.
But it's different. Like they have their own. They have their own. You know, RuPaul, I got into a few times, but it's just like in and out for me.
I love RuPaul. I would do anything for RuPaul. Did you know RuPaul and Henry Rollins have been friends since the 90s? They're really good friends.
That is sweet.
Right?
That's a nice friendship.
It's so different.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
I would be RuPaul's friend. I'd be both of their friends.
I would be both of. I would be their slaves. Let me.
Okay, so on to our topics for today. By the way.
All right. So before we jump into our stories,
we need a hot Cheeto break.
We needed a hot Cheeto break. Well, Maddie needed a hot Cheeto break, and I want to talk about Patreon.
Yes.
So with Patreon, you're helping support basically all of our future endeavors, such as merch, new equipment, just paying towards anything that helps us provide you the best content that we can provide. Where we only actually ask for $2 a month. Now there is the ability to pay more, but that's all up to you.
Please.
With Patreon, you get one, love and appreciation from us, because we really, really, truly, extremely appreciate it. Two, you'll get a cool From How They Came sticker.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yes, and we're actually going to start making new ones that are specifically made for Patreon supporters. When we do release merch, you'll be the first to know, as well as any kind of secrets that we're keeping away from our listeners.
Many secrets.
Yes, we have a lot of secrets. When we do start releasing merch and have our website up and running, you will get codes specifically for Patreon supporters only. So that's also really awesome. I wanted to go ahead and note two new Patreon supporters that we have.
Ooh.
First one is Sophia.
Ooh, it's shout out Sophia. Yes.
Yes, I love Woo! Sophia. Oh my God. She's one of our Houston listeners.
Mm, H-Town baby.
Yeah, hold it down for us one time.
Swinging.
The next one is Raul.
Well, my Modelo poppy. Yes. Shout out Raul.
Yes, shout out.
Shout out to them.
We love them.
And thank you for everyone or anyone who's been with us since day one.
Since our shitty, I mean, these are still quite crappy episodes. We're trying to get better. I don't know what it is. Just I feel like I need to unplug all of my, like, my refrigerator, my fucking what is this called? My stove.
Because it's always like everything.
Yeah,
while we're here.
I want everything turned off.
We're just suffer. Have a window open. Not even the breeze would get in the way too.
There's no breeze.
That heat. Yeah.
But yeah, I think, like Maddie was saying, thank you to everyone who's been listening to us since the beginning. We really appreciate it. We wouldn't, if it wasn't for you guys, we would just be two weirdos talking.
I mean,
on
technically.
Mics. We're already weirdos.
Now we have mics.
But now we have mics,
and
at least someone's
to
listening.
To our.
All 10 of our friends.
Shout out.
Shout out to y'all.
Now we have like 11. Thank you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and jump into our story.
Yes.
So today,
we're talking about demon-possessed criminals.
Yes. The ones that say they were possessed. The ones that...
They use it as an excuse for their actions, while others who are usually suffering from mental illness, such as drug, alcohol addiction, or both have seemed to truly believe they were under, quote-unquote demonic control when they perform their evil act, or that they use the excuse, the devil made me do it.
Yes, the devil made me do it.
I do have an honorable mention that's more popular.
I think I know who it is.
I think you do. one of the famous cases is of a demon committing crimes involved the serial killer. His name was David Berkowitz, also known as the Son of Sam, claimed a demon inhabiting a body of his neighbor's dog compelled him to go on a murder spree in New York City.
Yes.
So that shit is wild.
I remember when I watched that on Mindhunters. Do you watch Mindhunters?
I have yet to start.
Oh my god!
Girl, I just renewed my Netflix for the month, okay?
Sorry, but spoiler alert.
He's
on it.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It's really good.
Interesting story. Fun story. If you don't know it, I definitely recommend to look it up. I didn't want to do it because I was like, that. I feel like you need to go on your own to look at that story. It's such a good story.
Wait, him or?
Yeah, like if anyone's interested.
Oh, his story.
His story,
okay,
yeah.
Sorry. I got really confused. I thought you were going to mention another one.
Oh, no. Just him.
Okay. Gotcha.
Who else? Ramirez. What's his name?
I was going to say Roy.
Yes. Shoot. The guy, the Night Stalker. He was also.
What's his name? I forgot. I always forget his name. He creeps
Richard Ramirez.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. He was also another like example of like demonic control because he was. I think he was a Satanist or he claimed to be one. So that was like another example.
Okay. Yeah. So today I'm going to talk about the Ossett murder. Mm-mm-mm. Michael Taylor. So who was Michael? He worked as a butcher in Ossett, West Yorkshire, England, with his wife Christine, 5 children, and their poodle. The family was considered cheerful and happy by neighbors. Michael was actually described as a generally kind, mild-mannered, and loving father/husband.
Of course.
Due to bouts of depression because of severe back injury that had left him with chronic back pain and an inability to find long-term employment. So he was constantly leaving jobs, going to new jobs, not having a job. So though Ossett was highly religious community, the Taylors weren't devout to any particular religion or belief. But that changed when the family's friend, Barbara Wardman, introduced Michael to a church group called Christian Fellowship Group, which was led by 21-year-old Marie Robinson. He became a regular, if you will, at the group's meetings and became acquainted with the teachings of Marie. He was such a regular that soon he began spending inappropriate amounts of time with her and even joined Marie's congregation where they used, quote-unquote, the power of God to exorcise people of their sins and speak in tongues.
I'm just not going to say nothing.
They'd stay up to engage in private rituals. With all these newfound holiness, Michael's attitude changed at home. He became more irritable, argumentative, and sullen towards the family. Plus, he was spending less time away, so of course, it kind of messed things up at home. Which was totally unlike his behavior. It was assumed the church group was exerting a negative influence on him. His change in behavior and infatuation with Marie was even noticeable, especially by his wife, Christine. Christine decided to confront Michael during one congregation about his relationship with the preacher and accused him of being unfaithful, and this is where his behavior took a turn for the worse. Michael was reported to have felt an evil influence cast a shadow over him and, compelled by force, turned his inexplicable sudden rage onto Marie, which was the preacher, the whatever she was at, because, you know, like they have different.
She's like
terms.
A leader.
The leader of the fellowship church group, lashing out on her verbally and physically to the point that several other churchgoers had to physically restrain him before he hurt someone else.
What an asshole.
Yeah, Marie later testified to what happened. "Quote unquote, I suddenly glanced at Mike and his whole features changed. He looked almost bestial. He kept looking at me, and there was this wild look in his eyes. I started screaming at him out of fear. I started speaking in tongues. Michael also started screaming at me in tongues. I was on the verge of death, and I seemed to have come to my senses. I knew that only the name of Jesus would save me, and I started saying it over and over again. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When Christine heard me calling on the name of Jesus, she started saying it too, and I believe firmly that is the that it was only by calling him on his name that I was not killed, end quote. Michael later claimed to have no memory of the outburst, but the following day, Michael received full forgiveness from Marie and the church for what he had did. But it was obvious that his out-of-character behavior showed no signs of changing and that he got worse as time went on, which alerted several local ministers to the realization that he might be under the influence of surreal demonic forces.
God damn.
The local Victor, I believe this is how you pronounce it, Vicar, came to the conclusion that an exorcism should be performed on Michael, and two ministers, Father Peter Vincent, the angelic priest of St. Thomas, and Reverend Raymond Smith, a Methodist clergyman, were brought in to carry it out. The date of the exorcism was set for midnight on October 5th, 1974, at St. Thomas Church. The exorcism lasted throughout the night and well into the morning. As soon as it began, Michael began to scratch, spit, and bite, as well as have uncontrollable convulsions, which resulted in him being forcefully tied. Over the next 8 hours, Michael had crucifixes shoved into his mouth, was doused with holy water, and forced to confess his sins.
No wonder he's so mad.
All while growling and snapping at everyone in sight. The priest and reverend claimed about 40 demons were inhabiting Michael's body, including those representative of incest, bestiality, blasphemy, lewdness.
The gang's all here.
Hearsay, literally. Misogynism, and carnal knowledge. By 8 a.m. on October 6th, the priest and reverend could no longer continue due to being exhausted. Because remember, it went from 12 a.m. to the morning.
Yeah.
They decided that the remaining demons, those of insanity, anger, and murder, would later be exorcised. Hashtag fun fact, even though it's not really fun, but rather a fact. Later on, after the ordeal, Reverend Smith's wife, Margaret, claimed that she had received a warning in her mind she had believed to be God, which said that the demon of murder was going to escape and kill Christine. Margaret even pleaded with the minister and reverend to continue, but instead they sent Michael and Christine home until they continue, which would be the following day. So though
this
they
has been
had
ongoing.
Yeah, so though they had three quote unquote demons still in him, the priest and the reverend both knew that if they were in him, they were just like, hey, take him home, we'll finish this off later.
Yeah, no, never do that. You gotta finish it. You gotta finish.
You gotta finish. Yeah, exactly. You don't just start and not finish.
Run for the long haul, dog.
Right? Like, especially like demons. You just said that insanity, anger, and murder.
Yeah. Excuse me.
No, sir.
Go back in there and do your job.
Right.
There's no break, honey.
Whether there were still demons with Michael, what followed merely 2 hours later was nothing short of pure evil. At 10 a.m., Michael brutally attacked and killed his wife, Christine, in their home.
Nombre.
Attacking her with his bare hands, gouging her eyes, tearing out her tongue, and nearly peeling her entire face off. And then...
See what happens when you leave him alone?
Yeah. I mean, he shouldn't have been taken home.
Yeah.
Don't they usually, like, leave them where they are, like, go rest and then come back? From what I've seen in movies, that's what they do.
I don't know what the proper procedure are. But,
yeah,
you know,
but don't send him home.
Yeah, with his wife and his, like, kids or
and
whoever.
Their dog.
Don't bring it up. Don't you
he
dare.
He then went for the
don't
family
you dare.
Poodle.
Don't you dare.
So, I'm sorry for this. Oh, this makes me, I literally cried typing this out.
Oh, my God.
Slaughtering it by tearing it practically limb for limb. After the deed was done, he began aimlessly shouting, "It's the blood of Satan," as he naked, covered in blood, wandered around the streets of the neighborhood.
Fuck you.
He was spotted by a passing patrol car, which, you know, a cop. And they soon found the bodies and his wife and their family poodle. The trial opened with prosecutor barrister Mr. Baker QC telling the jury that what they were about to witness evidence that, quote unquote, will make it difficult to believe you are not back in the Middle Ages, end quote. Michael stated in his testimony that he had no memory of the act and that he had been under the control of evil forces. He went as far as saying he believed his wife was possessed by demons as well. During the trial, Christian Fellowship Group had...
Sorry to throw that out there.
No, it's okay.
I'm mad.
I'm upset too. Like, during the trial, Christian Fellowship Group had been stated as more like a, quote, cult.
A cult?
A cult. Influencing Michael with these thoughts. The group was even described as, quote unquote, neurotic, feeding neuroticist to a neurotic.
Were they a satanic group?
No, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know.
Damn, what if it was?
They even tried blaming the exorcism itself because it essentially fed into the warped ideals, beliefs, and religious thoughts that he picked up from the group, especially the negative influences he had. Sleep deprivation. Pushing the mentally disturbed man over the edge of madness and murder. In the end, Michael was found not guilty by reason of insanity.
Wow.
And deemed to be both clinically and legally insane, and was sent to Broadmoor Secure Hospital for the criminally insane. He was there for 2 years, followed by another 2-year sentence by Bradford Royal Infirmary before being released. Also, the exorcism that was done became the last recorded exorcism carried by the Anglican Church. Though the blame was placed on the church and the priest in charge of the exorcism, Father Peter Vincent continued to insist that Michael was inhabited by demons and it had been an authentic case of true demonic possession.
Damn, he was trying to get the truth out.
Deadass. After the trial and sentence, Michael continued to show odd behavior and falling deeper into depression and even attempted suicide 4 times over the years. In July of 2005, Michael was back in the public eye for sexually harassing an underage girl.
Wow.
During the trial, they said he did the crime due to being quote-unquote clinically and legally insane, but they deemed it irrelevant.
Okay.
He showed signs of low to medium risk of reoffending and his lack of any previous convictions of sexually related crimes, so he received a light sentence of 3-year stint of community service and further psychiatric treatment. And that is the Ossett murder case.
Is he still, like...
I couldn't find anything about him.
Man.
But he did do the crime, do the time for the crime. Mm-hmm. For both killing his wife and the poodle, and also sexually harassing
him. You do the crime, buddy. You're doing the time. Yeah. Do you think it was possessed, or was he just mentally ill? I think that's a war on each other, because it's
because
it could be a little of both.
When it comes to, I'm not gonna say like I'm extremely knowledgeable on demons or anything.
Oh. How do you know this?
But a lot of the times they do like to say that demons will inhabit someone who does have those characteristics, the traits of clinically insane. Because I think we talked about it on the last episode.
Right. Like in the mind.
It's all in the mind. If you open yourself up to it, it's, and I mean, he extremely opened himself up to it because he was in that group, the fellowship group.
And that's what scares me about religion, whether it's Catholic or Christian.
Or anything.
Because it's just, I think it does, although it's good, I'm not saying it's bad, but although it's good, you know, you believe what you want to believe, but I feel like it is kind of a portal, like, no, I don't want you to be a Christian, so I'm going to, like, come 10 times harder to get you, basically.
That's a really...
I grew up in, like, a Catholic Christian family, and my family is really devoted Christians. Surprising, right? I don't know, here I am.
All demonic yourself.
So they've told me, like, you know, that's what it is about. Being Christian, Catholic, being involved with, you know, personal Jesus, Marilyn Manson, that they've told me that once you do that, like once you commit your life to this, that, you know, they're going to hit harder. They're going to want you to fall back. Basically, like, they're going to want you to fail. And that's where, like, the whole faith thing comes in, you know? And so I think it has that, like, since he was going to that church, I kind of feel like, oh, maybe they were just, they attacked him more because they knew he was weak-minded. Mm-hmm. Maybe they knew he wasn't, like, he was doubtful of it. Mm-hmm. So maybe they had, like, some kind of opening, and they just, like, you know, the demons just went at him.
And I mean, I completely agree. When it comes to religions, like, I grew up in a Catholic home. Like, my whole family's Catholic. Mm-hmm. You're taught to be afraid of these things. You're taught to be afraid of the devil and demons, and only angels are good, and God is good, mm-hmm. and Jesus is good, which, I mean,
it's all great, but then you have to think of the ugly. You have to think of what comes with it.
And, I mean, me, I'm not afraid of the devil. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of demons. I'm all, like, it's,
I'm gonna say that out loud.
I mean, they're around. Can lower
your voice a little?
They are around.
No, yeah.
You just gotta accept it. Mm-hmm. Like, even if, like, my family, some of my family doesn't believe
in hell,
demons, hell. But see, that's also a thing with Catholics. Mm-hmm. They believe in hell.
Yeah.
But they're gonna sit here and tell me they don't believe in demons, or they're gonna say only angels are around. No, like, there's so much.
You got the best of both worlds, baby.
So much activity and everything. Like, there's things that we don't know about, but, like, another religion, they have their own beliefs. They have their own good. They have their own good,
evil, their own good.
Yeah, exactly. So we can't sit here and say there's only demons, there's only angels, there's only this, there's only that. There's, like,
there's a bunch of everything.
A little bit of everything from everywhere. Yeah. And whether you accept it or not, it's still out there. Mm-hmm. But with him, to me, to be quite honest, he could have just been clinically insane.
That is true. And maybe that just going to that place was kind of just motivating him more.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe he was upset, because there are some times where you'll go to church and they kind of call you out on shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, love your wife better. Do better to your family.
Do unto others as asshole. You would do unto yourself.
Yeah. And like, so it could have been that. Maybe he was just, like, pissed off. Like, or I'm also thinking, what if it actually was a cult? But they just use that as a covering. And he didn't know better.
Exactly.
I don't know. I have different thoughts on this. What do you think?
Tell us what you think. Leave a comment at the bottom
of
this video.
I swear I'm not smoking anything right now. These are our genuine thoughts.
I don't know, man.
No, that was a good story, though. I fucking loved it.
Thanks. I'm ready for yours.
Oh, God, it's...
I'm going to eat some hot Cheetos real quick, so I'm going to stop.
So my turn. The story, we're going to talk about Jason Dalton, 45, who had no criminal history, but he drove around Kalamazoo, Michigan on February 20th, 2016. Mm-hmm. So bitches just happened 2 years ago.
You said 2016?
2016, yeah.
Oh my God.
Right, it's recent. So he opened fire over the course of hours, all while picking up fares between attacks. The former Uber driver pleaded guilty to the killings that left 6 dead and 2 severely wounded. He explained in detail how he claimed the ride-sharing app had guided him to kill unsuspecting residents.
I forgot about this.
I didn't know about this. That's why I was like, dude, I want to do this.
I forgot about this.
I never heard of this, like, in my entire life. Okay. The shootings occurred on the evening of February 2016, as, you know, he was Ubering around. Mm-hmm. He told officers, "The minute that I logged on, to be honest with you, I don't know what happened." He is heard telling investigators in tapes, "I know you guys are going to have a hard time believing this, but it literally took over my mind and body." He also stated that from the interrogation that he just tapped into the app and there was, like, a devil head that popped up. Dalton told investigators in the tapes it was some sort of a horned head, like a cow head or something.
Okay.
"I pressed that button and there was all the problems went after that." He also said that the Uber app, I've never been at Uber Jabba. Dalton told detectives that the Uber app had taken control of him. "You can drive over 100 miles an hour and go through stoplights and nothing will. You can just get places. When I tapped that, it said that I could say and do whatever I wanted to. There would be no repercussions." He said that the app would start off red and then switch to black mode. Then when it was in that black mode, it literally has control of you.
Oh my God, we just got black mode on our phones.
Fuck. Oh, ahead of his time. He said that the app would do a little blink at me. I gave him an assignment that he had to complete. Dalton also told investigators that Grand Theft Auto? Honestly, that's what I was thinking. I was like, what? Is this like a new one?
Is this a new Grand Theft?
He told investigators that prior to the shootings, he had not been sleeping, and he's been up for about a little more than 24 hours, and he has no remembrance of who he shot, and that it was all out of random. So we're going to take it back and just like talk about his history, who he was before everything. All of this shit went down.
Yeah.
This is why I take Lyft, by the way. So he was, I couldn't get like his growing up childhood. So it kind of just starts as to like his young adult life.
Okay.
He pursued an education in law enforcement, but according to a friend, he stopped pursuing it as a career because it meant he had to relocate. And it said this in an article that he retrained as an auto mechanic in Laramie, Wyoming, and had worked both as a mechanic and an insurance adjuster. And so, according to a friend of Dalton, they mentioned how it was odd that it was that Dalton didn't want to pursue law enforcement because due to relocation, but he relocated for his mechanic job for training and also accepted a job with BMW North American company that's located in New Jersey. Shortly after, like,
he moved.
Yeah, so wow. There. So that's weird. From like the beginning, like his friends were just like really wary of him, like. Mm-hmm. Just like really odd, like I guess he was just an odd fellow. Shortly after, he moved back to Michigan, where he became an auto insurance adjuster. Mm-hmm. He had then gotten married to Carol Dalton in 1995, but divorced days after when her husband was arrested for the murder. So you know, go Carol for getting out of that one. He was classified as normal and a good family man, but a few coworkers disagreed.
They saw the real him.
You know, honestly, your coworkers know you better than anybody else, I feel.
Mine don't.
In a sense, well, you just started.
True.
But in a sense, I feel, because, you know, so they disagreed, and they had told police that they have witnessed him yelling on different occasions, yelling at customers over the phone, to the point of he would slam the phone down, hanging up on the customer. He was so upset and paced, he would pace back and forth around his desk. And there's been several instances and occurrences where he's done this. Dalton blamed that the killings on the Uber app, which said to have controlled his mind and take over his whole body, compelling him to carry out the murders. He then goes and says that the app resembled the insignia for the Order of the Eastern Star. Okay. And that is a Masonic organization with no ties to the occult or Satanism. He then said that a devil figure with a horned cow head that gave him his assignments would take over your whole body. And that, of course, he goes back to he doesn't remember anything that happened.
Of course.
Implying he was in a trance-like state when he carried out the killings. We're going to talk about the day of the shooting.
Okay, real quick. So yes. As he was being an Uber driver, he was also an insurance adjuster?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't know if I put that in there.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, he would do it like as a side job.
Gotcha. Yeah. Like typical.
Like Uber in between. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So before the shooting, the day of, Dalton and a friend went to 3 different gun stores.
Mm.
He took an Uber fare at 4 p.m. and his passenger named Matt Mellon observed his driving, stating it was erratically, and he was so alarmed enough during the ride he called 911, giving them the description of the car, license plate number, and that he was driving, Dalton was driving a Chevy Equinox.
Okay.
After Dalton went home and called his wife, he called her to ask to swap the Equinox for their Hummer. Oh yeah, let's bring another car in and
a Hummer, you know, we have all a lot. Things.
A Hummer, come on. That's where you know the story's bad. So he called his wife and like, hey, honey, like, we're going to switch out cars.
Mm-hmm.
On the way to his parents' house where he planned to make the switch, he took another fare in between.
Okay.
Whose destination was the scene of his first shooting. And so the horrible incidents were spread across 4 hours on a Saturday night. So victim one, her name was Tiana Carruthers. According to the Detroit Free Press, in the early hours of the evening, Dalton began picking up Uber riders in his Chevy Equinox SUV. They said that he was acting erratically blowing through stop signs and swerving through traffic. Around 5 p.m., Dalton's car swung into an apartment complex parking lot. He flagged down Tiana, who was a 25-year-old mother walking around outside with her children. This is a quote from her saying that he asked me who I was, and I said, no, I'm not that person. And I ended up letting it go. The person who he was originally supposed to pick up texted to inform him the address was wrong, and it's believed because of this mix-up, it angered him and incited the first shooting.
And so he just shot her at random?
Basically. Wow. So Tiana later told reporters that Dalton drove off. Oh, by the way, she survived.
Yeah.
So this is her.
How is she talking from beyond the grave?
I forgot to mention. So she was one of the, she's a victim, but she also survived it. Mm-hmm. She later told reports that Dalton drove off. When he returned a moment later, the driver opened fire on the young woman. She sustained 4 gunshots to the arm, back, and leg, but survived by playing dead.
Oh, my God.
After Dalton fled the scene, he committed a hit and run with no serious injuries resulting.
Oh, thank God.
He met up with his family and explained the damage on the Equinox by saying he was struck by a cab driver. What a loser. He gave his wife a handgun and told her to stay home with the kids.
Why would you give her a handgun? Why wouldn't she think that's weird?
Right. It didn't say anything like as to her like reaction, like this something ain't right.
Yeah.
So he went to go then try to get the Hummer up and running. He said it wouldn't start. So he's I don't know how he got all these fucking cars. He switched to his wife's Chevy, another car, I guess, that they had. It was a Chevy HHR, and told his wife that while he couldn't tell her what was going on, that she would soon find out about it on the news. He went to the bank to withdraw money, then switched guns and went back out to take more fares.
Wow.
So this is 2 victims. Unfortunately, they didn't make it. Hmm. It was Tyler Smith, age 17, and Richard E. Smith, who is the father, age 53. At 10 p.m., Dalton parked at a Kia dealership and gunned down a father and his son. Witnesses at a Burger King across the street captured him on video as another called 911. Then we go to victims 4 through 8. So overall, he had 8 victims. 10 minutes after this double murder,
oh my God.
Dalton shot 5 more people in a Cracker Barrel parking lot 5 miles from the Kia dealership. He approached a woman in a white van and asked her a question. He shot the woman and her passengers as well as her friends in another car. He was later pulled over in the early morning hours of February 21st, 2016, when police noticed he was driving a car matching the description of the shooter rampaging through the Kalamazoo area. Uh-huh. He was taken into custody without incident. And, of course, police found a 9mm handgun inside the Equinox.
He shot at Tiana outside her apartment. He shot the father and the son outside a Kia.
Mm-hmm. At random.
Kia
dealership.
And then he shot 5 people?
Yeah, he shot at 5 more people. 4 were dead. 1 survived out of it.
And that was the lady with her friends in the car.
And then another car next to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they finally pulled him over. They found the gun. I'm lying. It was an 8. So all told, this 3rd shooting brought the death toll to 6, and another sustained serious injuries. Dalton killed sister-in-law Mary Jo Nye, who was age 60. Mary Lou Nye, 62. Their friends were Dorothy Brown, 74, and Barbara Hawthorne, 68. Barbara's 14-year-old granddaughter, luckily Abigail Kauf, she was a survivor, suffered a gunshot wound to the head and other injuries, but she survived.
Oh, my God.
However, she went several surgeries to attend her brain injury and other wounds, as well as to address complications from an infection she contracted at the site of her head incisions. No. But other than that, she's a survivor.
She survived.
And then it goes back to Tiana. She had to go through several surgeries to reconstruct her arm and legs, and she still carries around a bullet in her liver.
Oh, my God.
That doctors monitor every few months to ensure it isn't compromising her.
Mm-hmm.
They also had to insert metal rods to support both her femurs and another to repair her left arm. Back to Abigail. It's just talking about like what they had to endure through all this, and that she succumbed to her injuries and was in critical condition for weeks after she was shot in the head. She has made significant recovery and was even able to attend her homecoming dance in 2017. Oh, you go, Abigail. Hope she slayed. However, she will still suffer the effects of her traumatic brain injury for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
So Dalton, he's facing 6 counts of first degree murder, 2 counts of attempted murder, and 8 counts of felony firearm use. So it said that in the article I was reading that the attorneys and lawyers he had hired, they wanted him to go for the insanity deal.
But he was like, I'm not insane.
Yeah. So he initially attempted to mount an insanity defense, which was advised from his defense attorney, but refused and decided to plead guilty because, quote unquote, he does not want to put his family through that or the victim's families through the trial. So it was his decision. So he was sentenced to life in prison without parole on Tuesday, February 5th of 2019. So this year.
Wow.
He was finally sentenced. So, I mean, he's still obviously in prison.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was crazy that he blamed the app.
Yeah.
Through all of this. It was really weird. It was a really weird story.
Here's what I'm getting. Something's telling me. It's not an app, but something's telling me that this man was just crazy.
Yeah. I definitely felt some anger issues.
Definitely that too.
And like the fact he didn't tell like his wife or his family, like, oh, here's a gun, go hide, basically. Like I'm gonna take the cars. I'm gonna take all three of our cars to go. Yeah.
Like, no. You knew exactly.
Like
he
was like, y'all hear about it later when I'm on the news being a star, basically.
Like, no.
But the way he described it, he said like a cow with like corns.
A cow with hooves.
And then the order of the Eastern Star was then appeared, and a devil figure with a horned cow head that would give you.
So he obviously knew things about it.
Maybe he like it didn't say anything else of like if he practiced any religion or kind of
like
things.
That.
Yeah. But that was I thought it was just crazy how it was recent.
Yeah.
Like it the spine time frame of 3 years. But I was like, holy shit. Like, this is why I take Lyft.
Fuck.
So what do we get out of our stories?
Bitches is crazy.
Bitches be crazy out here, honestly. Hoes are mad.
Bitches
are crazy.
If your husband hands you a gun and tells you to stay in the house with the kids,
don't do it. Yes.
Call the cops. No, listen, but also
first
call
of all,
the cops.
If you have a Hummer, we seriously need to talk about that.
Yeah, that's not good
for
the environment.
That's already number one.
Really though,
in fact, you have like 3 different cars. I can't even get one, but it's fine.
That
I don't
was
know
wild. Thanks for sharing that.
Of course, it was crazy. That's why I was like, I want to share this.
I heard about it, but I didn't really know much about it. So woo, well, thank you for sharing that.
And
we really appreciate it. It was great. This was a great episode. We did
so
great.
Don't work for Uber.
Work for Lyft.
Yes.
No, don't say that because we could get sued. We hope you enjoyed those stories. Quick little notes. Follow us on social media, FHTC Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We are now using a new, what is it called? Hosting site?
We are.
Oh, yeah. I didn't tell you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Oops. We're using a new one. It's called Anchor. So we're now on more
platforms.
Yes. Look at you.
See
you. Remember Patreon. I did forget to mention earlier, we're now going to start using the Instagram close friends feature. So if you become a Patreon supporter, we're going to add you to that because I feel like it's easier for us to update y'all instead
keep
of
on the loop.
Yeah, exactly. Keep an eye out for possible merch.
Yes. New logo.
Maybe not new logo. Maybe just... I don't know what to call it, but I know where you're coming from. It's cute. You're going to like it.
Cuter logo. Right?
It's going to be cute. Everything's cute. Mm-hmm. Send us your stories.
Oh, yes. We want to do a part 2.
Yes. A volume 2 of Perga Stories. So please send us your stories. We will love you forever. It's from howtheycamepodcast@gmail.com. It's spelled out completely.
Or if you want to email, message us directly on social media.
Yes. You can do that. Even like DM us on... Instagram, Twitter.
Feel comfortable with us emailing us for some weird reason. If you have a thing against emails, just message us. Slide in our DMs.
Keep an eye out. We're going to try and do some new things coming up in October. Hopefully, maybe we'll release more episodes. Shout out again to our new Patreon supporters, Sophia and Raul. We love you. You rock.
Yes. And I want to do a moment of silence for Sid Haig, who died on September 21st of 2019 and was known for, well, he was in many movies, but best known for being Captain Spaulding.
Yes, my favorite.
In House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, and even Three from Hell that did came out this year. So rest in peace. Moment of silence. He will be always remembered in our hearts.
We love you.
I do. I'm so sad.
I'm still really sad about that. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening again. We love you.
Love you.
Sleep tight, freaks.